From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Nearly 300 people were killed in a series of coordinated suicide attacks on the South Asian island nation of Sri Lanka. The attacks, which also injured at least 500 people, were aimed at Catholic churches and also several hotels catering to tourists. Authorities have so far pointed to a little-known organization called National Tawheed Jamaat as being responsible. However, there is speculation that there may have been international coordination for a set of attacks of this scale. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made these remarks about the attacks on Monday.
And other parts of the U.S. government are offering all possible assistance to Americans and the Sri Lankan government alike. We urge that any evildoers be brought to justice expeditiously, and America is prepared to support that. We also stand with the millions of Sri Lankans who support the freedom of their fellow citizens to worship as they please.
That's a Secretary Mike Pompeo remarking on the Sri Lanka attacks on Monday. The Easter massacre ended a decade of peace in Sri Lanka, whose civil war wrapped up in 2009. Sri Lanka is a majority Buddhist nation with significant minorities of Hindus, Muslims, and Christians. My guest is Rahul Mahajan, author of two books on the Iraq War, Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond, and The New Crusade, America's War on Terrorism. He also teaches at University of Wisconsin, River Falls, and he is the U.S. Foreign Policy and Empire correspondent for Rise Up. Welcome back, Rahul.
Great to be with you, Sonali.
So the West only really knows of this idea of suicide bombings in relation to Al-Qaeda, the 9/11 attacks, and you know a few other attacks before them, but mostly linked to extremist Islamist groups or extremist Muslim fundamentalist groups. But really, Sri Lanka knows all too well, unfortunately, the terror of suicide attacks, right?
Yes, although Hezbollah definitely is the inventor of the modern suicide bombing, since 1987 up until the conclusion of the Civil War, the LTTE, the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, the Tamil separatist group, had carried out more suicide attacks than any other organization, hundreds of them, in fact.
Killing thousands of people over many, many years. And that, essentially, I believe it was the killing by the Sri Lankan government of the LTTE leader that eventually ended the civil war in 2009. And Sri Lanka has enjoyed relative peace since then, hasn't it? Becoming a tourist destination once more.
Well, yes and no. So the war was ended in particularly brutal fashion with massive war crimes on both sides, but those by the government really stand out, including a great deal of essentially intentional bombing of civilians. Estimates are that tens of thousands of people died in the last 5 months of the war alone.
Wow.
And what hasn't happened since then is significant reconciliation or dealing with any of the claims of minority groups in the country. In fact, the Mahinda Rajapaksa, who came to power and is the one who prosecuted rather brutally the end of the war, also remained in power for many years afterwards and completely sort of undermined any attempts at truth and reconciliation, war crimes accountability, acknowledgement of concerns of the Tamil minority, and so on. So it's been sort of a hyper authoritarian nationalist state, despite of course having elections that are reasonably free and fair. So he's no longer in power, and Sirisena, who is now the president, has been seen as more of a moderate reformer. Another big Rajapaksa, much like Donald Trump, was notoriously corrupt and put numerous members of his family in governmental positions and in the way of opportunities to make money. So Sri Lanka has yet to start being able to deal with the wounds of the Civil War effectively. And now, of course, this is going to make that even more difficult. Mm.
Now, the attacks coming on Easter Sunday, specifically targeting Catholic churches, but also hotels, suggests that there's some sort of targeting of the Christian / Catholic minority, but they don't quite know yet who is responsible, do they? I mean, this organization, the National Tawheed Jamaat, is a small organization. They haven't, as far as I understand, taken credit for it.
Well, so on the one hand, the actual pieces of information we have are that 10 days before the attacks, there was a security alert issued to top police operatives, at least those involved in protection of VIPs in Sri Lanka, saying that Jamaat al-Tawheed was going to carry out attacks on Catholic churches and possibly on the Indian consulate. So that's one piece of evidence. They've recently rounded up a whole bunch of people, 24 at last count, from the organization who were under surveillance beforehand, and yet somehow they were not able to stop this attack. That's the concrete evidence, and of course it's too early to speculate. I would say that this bears none of the signatures of anything the LTTE ever did, and it is, as lots of security analysts have said, it's very, very much a kind of signature style that was premiered or originated by Al-Qaeda and taken up by ISIS, multiple virtually simultaneous attacks, large mass casualties rather than going for specific people or, you know, political targets, assassinations and so on, indiscriminate slaughter, et cetera, and a lack of any kind of statement or demand. So all of those things suggest that it is in that same vein. Also, the targeting of Christians. I mean, it's a strange thing for any organization that seriously wants to represent Muslim concerns in Sri Lanka to take up, because it's one minority attacking another. But of course, in this case, there are international influences that overpower any of these domestic considerations.
Right. So Muslims are little under 10% of the population, and Christians are under 10% of the population as well. And Sri Lanka just hasn't been known to be the site of such attacks, and to have such attacks on such a massive scale of a kind that you hadn't really seen, it seems a little bit strange. Some have suggested, of course, as always conspiracy theories, that this is Pakistan's doing. But, you know, it's not really clear, is it?
It's not clear. And right now, I tend to provisionally accept the Sri Lankan government's determination, you know, vitiated as the government is, until I see a reason to believe something else. And certainly there are lots of conspiracies you could spin, but there is absolutely no data to back any of them up at this time.
Mike Pompeo, in the statement that he made at the State Department, said that he supports the majority Sri Lankan sentiment to let people express their or pray wherever they want to. That sort of freedom of religion rhetoric started to appear in some of his statements on Monday morning. And there's been a sense that churches are being targeted around the world, even here in Southern California, where we are based. On Easter Sunday, there was an armed woman at a church in San Diego that was apparently found, and there were some other reports as well. But it's not clear if there is an actual trend targeting churches, is there?
Well, there are definitely some things. I mean, obviously, there was massive targeting of the very small of the Christian minority in Iraq at one point. And most of them are either dead or gone from Iraq. There's no reason to believe that there wouldn't be such targeting. Although so far, from what I've seen, if you think about, say, back in 2002, the Bali nightclub attack or the ISIS attacks in the Bataclan in France, I'm not sure how much of a distinction most of these groups have made between people from Christian nations who are nominally Christian in the sense that they don't profess any other religion and worshiping Christians who are actually at church. But that's not to say they couldn't start to draw those distinctions.
And of course, we did have a string of attacks on black churches in Louisiana a few weeks ago, and those were linked to a white supremacist perpetrator. So what do you think needs to happen right now in Sri Lanka? I'm assuming that while authorities are trying to make sense of this, is there something that the government can and should be doing to address what might be disaffection within the country? You mentioned that there really hasn't been reconciliation around the civil war.
Well, I mean, I would start by actually saying that the one thing the government has done right, sadly, I mean, it's clearly a violation of free speech in some way, is to temporarily shut down various inflammatory social media like Facebook and YouTube, which could not have been better designed in order to promote extremist violence if Mark Zuckerberg had planned it out himself carefully. So right now, I think that's a good thing. And hopefully, anything that is done to put out a plausible story of what actually happened that pays attention to the facts and the truth in such a way as to minimize the possibility for people to spin crazy conspiracy theories would be a good idea. It's not at all clear to me that this attack has anything to do with that climate, as I said, of unacknowledged grievance, lack of accountability, et cetera. But of course, it would definitely be a good thing if, in the absence of actual war crimes trials, there was at least a clear and widespread truth and reconciliation process. It would be nice if, at the very least, sometimes if Tamils are murdered by Sinhalese members of the military, that there is some pretense of due process. Things like that would certainly go a long way to helping the climate in Sri Lanka. But again, as I said, this may be something that is really driven by concerns that have little to do with Sri Lanka's domestic politics.
Well, Rahul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure details in this massacre will unfold over the next days and weeks, and we might be able to make some better sense of it then. Thank you so much, Rahul.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Rahul Mahajan. He teaches at the University of Wisconsin River Falls, and he is a regular correspondent on our show covering U.S. foreign policy and empire. We've been discussing the suicide attacks in Sri Lanka that took place on Easter Sunday. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.